Local public schools are beginning a new school year. What should parents know, and how can we stay connected while keeping our students safe? On this weekend's Focus on the Community, my special guest is Jeff Fritz, the superintendent of Clay Community Schools. Jeff is a lifelong resident of Clay County, and he's an alumnus of Indiana State University with degrees in education and master's degrees in education and educational administration, and an educational specialist degree in school administration. Prior to becoming superintendent, Jeff served for 32 years as a teacher and elementary and middle school principal, and during his time as an elementary principal, his school was named an Indiana 4-star school and National Blue Ribbon School. He and his wife Carol have 3 daughters and 4 granddaughters. Jeff will be retiring at the end of the school year after serving 40 years in Clay Community Schools, and 40 years can go by awful fast, can't they, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being on the program this morning, and we'll definitely talk about your future before we wrap up the program. But, wow, school starts, what, Tuesday? Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So that summer just seems to fly by faster and faster each and every year, but I guess that the schedule is probably similar to what it's been the past few years,
pretty
isn't
close.
It?
Yes, pretty close. We're pretty consistent.
And with everything we've witnessed since March of, what, 2020 with COVID, is this going to be a more normal school year in your view?
That is our hope. The last couple of years have been tough, and our hope is to really get back to as much normal as we can.
So any mask policy or recommendations, or where are we with that? Are those finally gone?
Yeah, we went from a 20-plus page document on our reentry plan during COVID down to a 1-page. I think it has about 8 bullet points.
Okay.
So we are much better shape now than we were a couple of years ago with related to, you know, anything COVID-related.
And so basically there's nothing special regarding COVID that people should know about for this school year?
No, and everything's on our website, and we've sent it out to the media. So, again, it's a pretty simple document, you know, hand washing. We clean on a regular basis. The only thing in there at all is if a person is has COVID, they come back on day 6, they have to wear a mask for about 4 days. But other than that, everything's pretty well back to normal.
Okay, good to hear. And when you look at like the big picture each and every day, I mean, we're all so busy doing our regular jobs or other activities. I know a lot of kids are involved in extracurricular activities, and we're just in this kind of busy lifestyle mode. But what would you say parents can do to be more involved in their school activities and most importantly, their curriculum?
Well, I'll tell you, parents are the most important adult in that child's life. I had a lunch meeting with a classmate of mine back from high school, and we talked about being in high school, and I said, we talked about a certain teacher I had, and I said, that teacher had a direct impact on me. That was the reason I went into education. But even with that said, my mom and dad were very instrumental, and that's the way it is today.
Sure.
We really need that connection between school and home. We need that support from parents. You know, we might not always agree, and Clay Community Schools isn't perfect. And the reason it isn't perfect, the superintendent isn't perfect. So we don't get everything right, but we do a lot of things very, very well. So the more support we can get from the parents, the more involved they are in those students' lives, the more connection they have with the teacher, the building principal, because they're out there to do their best, the better for the overall education of that student.
Well, let's talk about that just a bit deeper. Typical advice you might give parents at night, whether it's just sitting around the dinner table and asking about the day's activities, what would you recommend to parents if you're trying to get as much information out of your kids each and every day about what's going on in their typical school experience?
Sure. There's some data that a couple simple things that all parents can do. One is to eat with their kids. That sounds old-fashioned. It sounds trivial. But, to sit down and break bread, have supper together and do that is extremely important. Reading to students at home, especially those preschool kids, those elementary kids, even some of our middle and high school kids, if they can read a book together. There's a great website. It's by Jim Trelease that really talks about the data. If parents will read at home to their kids, grandparents reading with their kids, almost every part of education, not just reading, it's applicable to math. It's applicable to social studies and science. That reading is key. So eating together, dining together, talking together, turning off the cell phones, turning off the electronic devices, turning off the TV. How'd your day go? A lot of times you'll hear fine. Kind of dig a little bit and really get that connection of going back and forth verbally.
Yeah, I could see that being very helpful because, you know, when you take a, if you took a stopwatch with how many quality minutes we spend with our kids, it probably doesn't add up to as high as figure as we might be led to believe. And a lot of that has to do with our cell phones, too.
It does. I
think it's my, it's a love-hate relationship. I'm not sure about you, Jeff, but
same way
with my phone. I mean, yes. you love the technology and the speed that we can get information, but there's times I look at, oh my gosh, I spent this many hours on it today. Why can't I just turn this darn thing off?
That's right. You're exactly right. And again, it's a great tool. We can misuse this as well. But I'll tell you that life's busy. And I, you know, our kids are grown now, but just a parent now, a grandparent. I know how life is so busy with athletics and clubs and so forth, and work and with school. But really, carving at that time to have that interaction with your child, you can't get it back once it's gone.
That's exactly right. So parents, turn the phones off, make an attempt to talk to your kid each and every night, ask them how their day went. You'll probably learn a lot. And if you take an interest, I think your kids might even be more open about what's going on if you can kind of open up that communication each and every day.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about school safety. Boy, it's been a tough past year. I mean, as a superintendent, when you saw everything from Uvalde to all these other school gun problems that we've been seeing across the country, I mean, it has to affect you especially. I mean, what are we doing after learning more problems in places like Uvalde, Texas, and other areas to make sure that those sort of things can't happen here?
Well, I'll tell you, we've talked about this a lot, and Uvalde was certainly a wake-up call for a lot of school corporations. I'll be honest with you, it was not a wake-up call for us. We've been ahead of this for a long time in our area here. I think we were on the cutting edge of a lot of things with regard to school safety. We put a lot of things in infrastructure that we don't even tell the public. That's basically just our administrators and our board knows about. We put some hard points in place here that make it much more difficult for an active shooter to come in. We adopted the ALICE program, which stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Escape. And we've done this training for the last 7 or 8 years. We just trained yesterday all of our new employees. And what it is, it basically gives ownership to our staff and to our students that if we have an active shooter event, you at times have to make decisions on your own. A quick example of that was the tragedy at Sandy Hook. That was one of the toughest days, I think, in the United States history that you had, you know, a shooter come in, elementary students, and killed, I believe it was over 20. But there was a situation there where a little second grade student took ownership. The gun was either reloading or his gun jammed, and the second grader said, "Let's go." And some other second grader students followed that child out. They stayed on the sidewalk because that's what they were supposed to do. They went to the local volunteer fire department. No one was there. They walked and they sat down in a driveway of a retired gentleman, didn't know him. He invited him in for cookies, and they were all safe. But that little second grade child took ownership of that situation, did the right thing. That's what our ALICE training has done for not only our staff members, but our students. It gives you ownership that you have to make decisions. And this particular training is applicable not just to the school setting. You could be at church. As you know, there's church shootings. You could be at the mall. You know what happened in Greenwood here a couple weeks ago. So it's applicable to all walks of life. So we really try to train our school family in things they can use. We also have SROs in our corporation every day. We have a very, very good working relationship with local law enforcement from city to county to state. They are fantastic to work with. I've got cell phone numbers of probably 20 local law enforcement officers, and they're a phone call away, and they're welcome to help us anytime. So
I think you and I know enough of our local law enforcement that there would have been no way, had a similar situation happened here like it did in Uvalde, they wouldn't have waited 77 minutes to storm that classroom.
I would agree.
Would you agree with that?
I know many of these individuals on a professional basis and personally, and some of them come up to me. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a state police officer. He said, that would have never happened.
Absolutely.
Here. He said, I signed up for this, and I'd put my life on the line. And I have no doubt that's the way our our agencies would be.
I mean, I know you don't want to give up all your secrets, and that's fine. I think that's whatever is in the best interest of our kids, but I assumed everything like making sure all doors are secure and locked is pretty typical protocol, right, on a daily basis, right?
That is correct, and we even put some extra checks and balances in place this year to double-check those. We've taken some other protocols that, you know, it's always evolving, and we're always learning from this. I went to a national school safety conference last week and made, I think, 8 or 9 pages of notes, and I've shared those with my administrators, and we'll be sharing those, some of that information, tomorrow at our opening teachers meeting.
Here's a tough question. I won't tell you who this person is, but a friend of mine, they've got a young baby. And as soon as Uvalde happened, I know that they commented on social media, this is why I'll never send my kid to a public school. How do we reassure parents like that and others that our local schools are safe and hopefully not discourage, you know, parents from sending their kids to a local school to make sure they are safe each and every day?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll use the seatbelt analogy. You know, we use the seatbelts, and I've got a couple young granddaughters. And if Carol and I take them somewhere, we strap them in, we put them in their car seats, and I drive safely. My car is in good working order. But I can't be for sure, I can't say for sure that we'll all arrive safely. You just can't do it. There's no guarantees out there. I will tell you, in Clay Community Schools, school safety is our top priority, but there's some bad people out there. But studies show that one of the safest places for kids is still the public schools. And even though, you know, these situations are rare, they're awful, but again, they are very rare. It can happen anywhere, you know, on any given day. But again, studies show that schools are still a safe place for kids.
How do you feel about teachers who are comfortable packing a gun? Is that something that this school board would ever even talk about, or even the state would ever allow? What's your opinion of that?
Well, the state law now allow schools to do that. And I'm a huge U.S. history buff, and I love the founding of our country, and I have great respect for our Constitution, and especially the Second Amendment. And I exercise that on my own. We're not at that point yet. Again, we have SROs. We have people that are trained, that are law enforcement officers. We're looking at expanding that even more this year, and we're actually having discussions on making that force a little stronger. But at this point, we've not entertained that thought. But, you know, maybe down the road, it'd be something that this corporation will look at.
I understand. How do we, like, deal with social media when it comes to silly rumors? There's been some really silly rumors out at your school. And I don't even want to give even acknowledgement to some of the crazy stuff that's been said on social media. But whether you're a concerned parent that hears some of this stuff, and how do we not only keep craziness from being shared, but I guess if you're a parent and you're concerned about something, who should they talk to, I guess, if they hear something that maybe sounds just untrue, or they're not sure what to believe?
Certainly. Well, I'm a firm believer in chain of command, and it works in our school system as well. You know, you don't go to the board first. You don't call the governor's office first. You don't call the DOE. Talk to the people that have the boots on the ground, which is our teachers first. If you've got a question about something in the classroom, get a hold of that classroom teacher. And they're glad to sit down with them, or make a phone call or email, or whatever's easiest. The building principal's next. Then, you know, you go to central office, and we'll certainly work with them. But we can't stop the rumors. I stay away from social media. In my job, it would be a no-win situation. But I don't read it. I don't have any part of it.
Wow, no wonder you're so calm and non-stressed, Jeff. Good for you.
Could be all blood pressure meds too. So.
Well, I would encourage you to stay off social media in your retirement, and you'll be much happier. But any other suggestions that parents should at least hear from the superintendent and perhaps their school principals on just some other basic information about the upcoming school year, and other places to find resources too when
sure.
It comes to Clay Community Schools?
Sure. Well, many of our schools, if not most of them, are having open houses. Some of those already had some.
Okay.
So attend those. Parent-teacher conferences we have for elementary kids in October are so valuable. I was a former elementary teacher and principal. I served in the elementary ranks for 30 years. And those connections with the teacher and the parent, that time spent is so valuable. Again, reach out, go to events. Again, support our schools. Assume that, you know, that we're doing our best there. Ask questions, you know, challenge us. but we also have to come sometimes in the middle, agree to disagree. But, you know, get those connections. Our building principals want to know the parents. We've got several new administrators in our ranks this year. And I think we've got six new placements, either new roles or new people. And they're excited. I'm excited. We've got a great group of administrators, great group of teachers. And I'll tell you, if you look at Clay Community Schools, I'm very competitive by nature. And so I compare our results to state averages, compare our results to the 17 districts around us. And we've not disaggregated all last year's scores, but the previous year, if you take all the districts around us, we scored first in language arts and first in math. And even though we have a 6% above average of free and reduced lunch students and a 6% above average of special ed students, we scored in the top 25% in the state. So we're doing a lot of things very well. We don't do everything perfectly all the time, but we do a lot of things very well.
That's good to hear. And then what about enrollment? Are we maintaining? Are we growing? Are we losing? What's it look like when it comes to the, I guess, the ADM, which, by the way, stands for what?
Average daily membership.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're stable, sliding slightly. We're right around that 4,000 mark. We've been there. We dipped underneath that, but I think still some of it's COVID related. So I know some of our schools are enrolling new students, even outside the district. And we have some classes right now. We may have to hire some more teachers after we count noses those first two or three days. So I ask parents to bear with us on that. You know, if you've got high numbers, that we're going to look at that the first two or three days.
And actually, if you're maintaining or just having some leakage, that's actually pretty good for the region, because as a region in Indiana, this is really a declining population area, especially when you consider what the population has looked like in Vigo County the past two decades.
Yeah, this area, and you're correct, it is declining. And again, stability is really what we're looking at right now. And again, we show off our school system. We're very proud of it, and we're very proud of our results. And our buildings, I would say in the area, is second to none. We went through that building project here a few years ago. We updated Clay City and Northview, both high schools. And we've had people come and visit our schools, athletic events and so forth. And they said, your facility is some of the best in the state.
I would concur with that. And then, you know, I feel sorry for what our friend Dr. Hayworth is dealing with over in Vigo County. It just seems like that school corporation, they may have waited too long to finally start tackling the bull by the horns when it comes to upgrading facilities, let alone the other challenge really is declining enrollment over there. And then when you have less students, that's less money you get from the state on your ADM. But I guess you guys have been proactive enough, not only on the buildings, but it looks like financially Clay Community Schools are in pretty good shape. Is that a fair statement?
We're in excellent shape. We have a very healthy cash balance and a very healthy budget. We have a new business manager this year. Our former business manager went back to his hometown. And so we've got a guy who has a financial background, and we are in excellent shape financially.
So no need to have a voter referendum to raise the tax cap or anything like that, huh?
Bad word in Clay County.
I get that. And I will say this. I moved here from Davies County 5 years ago, and I actually lived in the city of Washington. And comparable house there to the one I bought here in Posey Township, but outside the city. And my property taxes down there were $3,400 a year, and they're $800 here.
Yes.
So I do appreciate that.
Yes.
And I do understand there's a difference on living in the city versus the rural area, but it's like happy with the tax rate when it comes to being a Clay County taxpayer. Let's, in our remaining minutes, we're talking with Jeff Fritz, the superintendent at Clay Community Schools. Interstate 70 is a topic that comes up a lot in our region because it just seems like there's been so many accidents from the Terre Haute exit all the way up to, let's say, Plainfield. Is there some kind of directive when it comes to our buses not being allowed on the interstate, whether it's for a daily use or even going to sporting events?
Yeah, it's been a long time policy here, and actually it was questioned here a few years ago why we did this, and there was some push to get away from that, and we've really stood firm on that. Like I said, school safety is our top priority. And that includes our buses. So we have an excellent transportation director, director of extended services, who both do an excellent job, and very happy with our bus drivers. But we stay off 70 until we get closer to Indy, where you really don't have much of a choice. It's pretty easy for the schools up in Brazil. It's a little more difficult for Clay City because you have to travel a little further. But it's worth the extra time. So We take 40 and we stay off 70.
I'm with you. I think that's a good decision for the safety. And it's too bad that I-70 has become so dangerous, but it just seems like every day we've got diverted traffic and some other accident out there. And I just hope they find a way over the next few years to make that road safer. Let's talk about employment opportunities at Clay Community Schools. Are there some job openings, and what would you like the community to know if there are?
Yeah, we always, off and on throughout the year, we have opportunities for employment here. Everybody's looking for bus drivers. We're in excellent shape right now, but we can always use more.
Okay.
Sub bus drivers, those in the back burner that if we have somebody, you know, retire or resign. IAs, instructional assistants, we can always use those. I met with our HR director this morning. We are at full capacity right now with all of our teachers. We have all of our teachers in place. They're getting ready to hire the last one. So we are in very good shape compared to a lot of school systems. So, but, custodians, maintenance workers, bus drivers, IAs, cooks, things like that, school is a good place to work, especially, if you want kind of the same hours your kids have, you want summers off for most jobs, weekends off, 2 weeks at Christmas, fall break, spring break. So there's some advantages working Clay Community Schools. And, our motto is Clay Community School is a great place to learn and work, and we believe that.
I've been seeing the billboards around town. So very good. Now you need a radio ad. You'll be perfect. So
there you go.
In the remaining moments, Jeff, is there anything else you want the community to know about Clay Community Schools, especially the upcoming school year that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a couple months since our bus has been on the road. So we encourage all drivers to be cognizant of we have kids that are getting on and off buses. When those stop arm comes out, when those red lights come on, you stop both ways. And we don't want to get any of our kids hurt. So that's one. And again, I encourage, like I said before, I encourage parents to get involved, read to their kids, eat meals together, carve out time in your busy schedule to really talk about school, talk about life. I will tell you too, going back to school safety, I want to mention this real quickly. Have your kids open up to you. If they know of something going on, maybe it's a threat, maybe somebody's talked about, an active shooter event, they need to talk to somebody. And if you hear it as a parent, call law enforcement, call us immediately. Call law enforcement first. But we want to know about these things because many active shooter events, someone knew about it before it ever happened.
So if you hear a rumor, take action.
Absolutely. Don't wait. Okay. We won't wait on it.
And regarding watching out for the buses, I've just noticed this up and down 40, especially in the mornings. People still are on their phone when they're driving, or they're not turning their headlights on when it's not quite daylight. I wish they would just stay off the phones, turn your headlights on, watch out for the buses, and we'll have a happy school year, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Since this is your final year as the superintendent, what's the process in finding your replacement?
Well, that'll be up to the board. I think they're going to start a search sometime later this fall.
Okay.
And we've got an excellent board. They're very involved. They're very supportive of our schools. They're embedded in our school corporation, so I have no doubt they'll get someone here to do a fantastic job.
And I guess in your final minute or two, I guess what's your proudest accomplishment having navigated Clay Community Schools for the past several years?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been extremely blessed. I grew up here, went to school, graduated from Clay City, and even student taught here. So I've lived all my life here, and I'm glad I've been able to serve here. Meeting a lot of good people, serving a lot of students. I had a conversation with a couple people yesterday. They said, they've talked about students I had before and said they were talking about you the other day. One of them was my first year. So you're talking 40 years ago. So this kid's actually a pastor in the area and said an impact I made on his life. So that means a lot to me. The National Blue Ribbon that I had at Jackson Township my last year as principal there is something that I'm very, very proud of. But again, I think it's more the people, the school family, the connection, and being able to serve in it. In our community.
And I'll give you 30 more seconds for this. For those that are on the fence, whether or not they should be a teacher or get involved in public education, I know there's been a lot of negative momentum lately. What would you do to encourage those to step up and teach? Because we need them.
You make an impact in students' lives and you get to serve your community. And again, it's not the same as it used to be, but nothing is. But it's still a great job and it's a great occupation and it's very rewarding.
All right, Jeff. Well, hey, I hope you have a great school year. If we can be of any help to you during the year, let us know. And wish you the best as you kind of coast to retirement this year. Right. So
won't be coasting.
Well, I mean that in the most positive way. Yes. But you've done a lot of great things, and I'm very impressed with the Clay Community School. So you've done a good job, but I'm sure it'll be a very active year. And let's just hope that everybody has a good year, and sports puts us kind of back to some normalcy, too, compared to the COVID mess we've had for the last 2.5 years. And yeah, I think a normal year would just be welcome, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Jeff Fritz, thank you for being our guest today on Focus on the Community, the superintendent of Clay Community Schools. And this has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m., I should say, on 105.5 WVIG and 7 a.m. on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.